It is all about Facebook today as we have Josh Renner joining us, who has a page, He Loved Us First, that has over 89,000 likes. He's got great information for those churches that maybe want to explore the use of advertising. Sally and I learned a lot as well. Stay tuned for All About Facebook. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. We are on the air with the Wells Tech Podcast, episode 258, recorded on October 16th, 2012. This is a podcast that we do every week where we talk about technology and ministry and where those two intersect, and helping me do that as usual from beautiful Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. Sally Draper with a high-speed internet connection. We're going to have a great podcast today.
Figured out. You got the boys in there, and they got all the bits and the bytes going.
Only four solid days of visits from the cable guy, but yeah, hopefully with the download of firmware to a new modem, the magic started happening. So
okay.
We're
so you're
flying.
You're on a first-name basis with the cable company there.
Good friends.
Well, we will cross our fingers. Hope we haven't jinxed ourselves. But so far, so good. And Sal, you and I did a little bit of analog chatting over the weekend as we were actually in the same place at the same time, in real time, out in Mankato, Minnesota.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often, but we were both blessed to be at the Media Outreach to World Missions conference sponsored by the Christ in Media Institute there at Bethany College in Mankato, Minnesota. I'd never been on the Bethany campus, so it was a treat for me just to see their beautiful campus, and we certainly weren't, there wasn't any shortage of godly geeks, as they were called. Lots of people interested in using technology to advance the gospel message. Really exciting conversations.
Yeah, made some new friends, and we're going to share some of our insights and some interviews next week. We had a chance to use their beautiful studio at Bethany College there, and looking forward to that show as well. But we have a show to do this week, and our topic is one that we've talked about quite a bit over the last, 250 some odd episodes, Sally, because Facebook has been around longer than that and has been a ministry tool in the hands of our churches and schools and organizations for that entire time. And, Sally, I'll be honest, I spent a little bit more time in Facebook than I normally do this past week in preparation for this podcast. And I guess my impression in spending that additional time in Facebook is this thing is a mess. But it's a mess that I think we have to deal with and use, because there is definitely application for ministry. And a little bit later on, we're going to have Josh Renner join us to talk about how he's using Facebook to reach out with the gospel. But before we have him join us, I think we could probably spend a few minutes talking about ministry application, and we've done that in the past, but Facebook tends to change and morph, and there's just, there's some complexity there that's worth talking about every once in a while to figure out how best a church or a school or even a person can use Facebook for gospel outreach.
It is definitely a bit of a moving target, but you can't argue with the numbers.
Right.
The world is at our doorstep via our Facebook connection. And so I think right away we need to understand that there are lots of different ways you can use Facebook. I think the most common way that everybody has, if you're on Facebook, is a personal account. So just sharing God's word in a natural way, as you would in your face-to-face interactions, but posting things on your personal account that glorify his name, and maybe pointing people to things, events on your church, or Bible studies online, or real time, or whatever it may be. You can do that and let your light shine on your personal account, even if you don't do anything else with your Facebook page. Right. Your personal account can be a reflection of your walk with God.
Yep. And I think that is the sweet spot for Facebook, always has been and continues to be. It's a person to person. It's a social thing. It's, I guess, what Facebook has done by allowing other things and organizations in meeting a need. But I think first and foremost, Facebook pages or Facebook personal accounts are where it's at. And that's where a lot of the interaction happens, person to person, and people liking and commenting and sharing pictures and those kinds of things. So,
right. Just speaking of the conference, I was tweeting along the way with the conference. For instance, I heard a quote, "Why not tithe on your career? Give time to your church in proportion to the amount of time you spend on your job, and using those same skill sets that you use on your job." I thought that was an excellent stewardship kind of quote, and it made it here to my Facebook page, so that I actually got questions. What exactly does that mean and stuff? People that wouldn't have any interest in being at the conference then were starting to engage with the conversation we were having there. And so that's just by putting things out there for the, I don't know, 447 friends that I have on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on the personal side, it's kind of a friend to friend, and that's how you build a community, you know, a personal community, is by friending or inviting friends, and vice versa. But as far as a organization is concerned, you know, the personal account really isn't an option, and I don't think even Facebook would kind of puts barriers between an organization kind of creating a personal account. They want organizations to use what are called pages. Mm-hmm. Pages can be created by anybody about anything, and there are different categories that they ask you to assign yourself to. So when you go to your Facebook account, you can click on create a page, and you're immediately presented with, I think, you know, five or six different options, whether it's a company, a brand, a service organization, you know, whatever it is. And then you have some, you know, some basic options, but you know, in dealing with pages, I guess I felt they were fairly one-dimensional. They're meant to share information and then invite feedback. It's a little bit different than a personal account. It's more, you know, timeline driven and event driven.
Mm-hmm. And so it makes a lot of sense for churches to have a page to promote their church activities, and also to share God's word. You can, you know, bring in devotional materials or whatever. You can promote things that are on your website and guide people to your website. You can promote live services or whatever it may be. You can use your Facebook page as a communication channel, and maybe it seems like a duplicate communication channel to your website, but the power of Facebook is that it can reach a different audience potentially, and that audience can then share it to their friends as well. Right. So, you know, that whole social aspect, sharing with one who shares with another, who shares with another, is built into Facebook. And that's just something our websites don't do for us. So,
sure. One big difference, Sally, that I try and encourage, or as I'm consulting with congregations and schools, to think about, you know, do you need just a web page, and what's the value of a Facebook page if it's kind of doing the same thing? One of the biggest differences is when you post something on Facebook, it actually gets pushed to the wall or the feed quote unquote, feed of the person who has liked your page. And that's a huge win for somebody trying to get information out. A website is a come and see strategy. Mm-hmm. So people have to go to the site, check the site. Is there anything new? Interact with the site. So it's a destination. A Facebook account and a Facebook page and its content can get pushed directly into the feed of an individual who has, you know, liked that page, and therefore they can get updated in real time with all their other stuff and all their other friends. So it's kind of more in the day-to-day business of the person where this information can be seen versus somebody having to remember, well, I got to go to the church website and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. One more component of Facebook we should make mention of is that Facebook also has groups. Actually, groups predated pages. I don't know if you remember, Martin, but back in the day, we had a Wells Tech group, and eventually we converted that to a Wells Tech page. Groups are more for bringing together groups, real people who have a common interest. Instead of around a brand or a location or a church or whatever it may be, this is more like for your prayer group or whatever it may be. I have a private group for my family, just my mom and my sisters and I, where we are able to share things, and it doesn't go on our public Facebook page that all of our friends see, just the four of us see it. So groups can have different flavors. You can have open groups that are searchable, that anybody can read what's there. Or you can have closed groups where people actually have to be a member to read what's there. They can find it and request membership, but they can't do it until they've been approved. Or even the secret group, like what I was describing with my mom and my sisters, where it's not searchable. Unless I invite you into my family group, you're not ever going to have the experience of being with the Wilson girls on Facebook. So we actually have a secret group for our prayer, women's prayer group here at St. John's, where we share prayer concerns and encourage each other and that kind of thing. And we just started that this year, and it's, I think, been very well received. Only about 13 members, but when somebody posts something on the page, then I get notified immediately and can respond, and obviously can lift them up in prayer as the needs are shared.
Yep. Groups are a little bit different animal than either of the other two. And we've talked a little bit about some features that have been added recently to Facebook that allow file sharing. And file sharing really is only a feature that is available for groups. So that makes it more of an intranet kind of solution. If you're thinking of bringing groups together within your church, maybe it's a church council or, like you say, a prayer group or a Bible study group, where you want to kind of maintain a membership and have control over that and give rights and share files and events and, you know, those kinds of things, groups are probably the way to go. So, you know, a lot of congregations will ask, well, do we need a page and a group? And I would say, you know, usually yes. You definitely want a page, because that's where you're pushing out the information about the goings-on of your church or recounting different events through audio or video or images. But the group side allows you to create smaller groups that can meet around a particular purpose, as opposed to kind of the big, you know, the big page concept.
Yeah, before we leave the discussion of the different types of things you can do with Facebook, we ought to touch a little bit on security. And obviously these groups you can associate security with. But it seems like when you friend people, everything that goes on your page goes to that group of friends. But in researching this show, I learned that you can use lists or shorter groups of people to post to. So if you had a photo or a status or whatever it may be, with this little drop-down menu that's in the status area, you can choose to share it with your friends or to customize that or to share it with a particular list that you've added people to. So just want to make you aware, like for instance, if you use the customize, you can pick which specific people or list you want to share it with and just type in people's names and things. So you can narrow the scope of what gets shared, to whom things get shared, even on your personal Facebook page.
Yep. So Facebook, and that kind of takes us full circle back to my original comment that this is very complex. And unless you spend a lot of time, and not just using it, but kind of with an express purpose. So if you're a webmaster and you say, I want to figure out how to use Facebook for my church, you're not going to really get all the things that you can do. And, there's a lot of things that you can do, but Facebook says, well, you have to do it this way. And the problem, and Facebook has gotten a little better. They have allowed, for some expansion and some enhanced features. And before that, it was kind of complicated because you didn't know what your security settings were and who was seeing what. And I think they've cleaned that up quite a bit. And now, because Facebook is so popular, there's a lot of documentation out there. There's a lot of video or webcasts about how to do this, that, and the other thing. And anybody probably in a leadership role in their Facebook ministry, so to speak, would probably do well to do some research before they dive right in, so they get it set up correctly and they know exactly what's being published and who's seeing it and how best to promote it, because there are different options there as well.
So, we know we need to have an audience for what we're presenting, our church audience and the friends and those kind of things, maybe seekers and people that are just looking for religious type answers might find our page, that kind of thing. But then we also need to know how to use our page in an efficient way, what kind of content to put on our page. As you mentioned, around events or things like that, maybe sharing photo libraries of events or that kind of thing. Facebook has that timeline view. And one suggestion I read was to go back and build your history of your church, like add to your timeline
right.
the date the congregation was established and significant dates in the church history.
Milestones, they call them, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that kind of adds to the depth of your page, and people can see, a timeline off to the side and jump to different years in your history and read about that. Mm-hmm. Another thing that they might, that they suggest that you share or make use of is the RSS feeds that are out there. And Wells in particular provides like daily devotions, daily Bible readings, those kind of things. And the app that I use for that is called RSS Graffiti. I don't have that open on my screen, but RSS Graffiti allows you to add an RSS feed. You can control how often it updates on your page. And by doing that, then, for instance, we get the daily devotion every day shared on our church webpage. So pretty easy to set up. I'll include a link for sure in the show notes to using RSS Graffiti app. There's probably other RSS feed type apps out there as well. This is just the one that I make use of.
Okay. So in general, maybe just to close out the conversation here about the state of Facebook, at least from our perspective, before we bring Josh on, is, they're definitely ministry applications, but you want to go in with a strategic plan. What's its purpose? Who are you trying to reach? And then don't underestimate the amount of time it takes to do it well. I've seen a lot of church Facebook pages that are out there and then just kind of wallow. They get a little bit of activity, but they really aren't an effective communications tool, because you can tell that there wasn't a plan behind putting them in place. Kind of ill-designed, once in a while somebody posts something, but you couldn't go there and get the heartbeat of the congregation or the organization. And that's really what Facebook is good at. What's going on today? What's going on tomorrow? How can I get involved? How can I interact? And, how do you engage? Probably a great way to evaluate how well you're doing is how many pieces of feedback you're getting, what kind of comments are going on, is there interactivity going on? And if not, then you really need to kind of rethink your strategy and determine how can we make this a better two-way communication tool rather than just another version of our website, which kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, it's not something you set up and forget about, for sure. Maybe dedicating even just 10 or 15 minutes a day, on a regular basis, so that you continue to feed the page and it continues to grow.
Right. So I'm going to try and get Josh to join us here. Josh Renner, just to, by way of a little bit of introduction, is somebody who was featured in our Forward in Christ magazine. And Josh is somebody who kind of gets Facebook. He's got a page that he's created that has over, what is it now, Sally, 89,000 likes.
Yep, and growing as we speak.
Right. Kind of amazing. So
it's called He Loved Us First, and it's just basically a gospel outreach page. And we're excited to have Josh tell us his story about the page. It's kind of funny, as we were preparing for this, I had written down that it had 84,000 likes. That was maybe a week ago. And so in the last week, it's jumped by 5,000 likes. So he's getting some real traction with what he's doing here on Facebook. And we're excited to have him join us.
Right. So we hope that the technology will be our friend. We have invited him to the hangout, and Sally, you did a little test with Josh yesterday, so hopefully everything is queued up and ready to go for him.
Yep, he's willing to be our trailblazer, because we've never added someone live to our live show. We've always recorded our interviews, our video interviews separately, and then spliced them in. But Josh here is joining our room.
There he is. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining. I'm very pleased that the technology is working for us, and that we didn't have to go to Plan B, which we really didn't have a Plan B. So it's probably a lesson learned. But this is the first time I've met you, Josh. I know Sally met with you yesterday, but appreciate you taking the time with us today. Uh-oh.
Well, Josh froze on us.
We will give him a second there.
And maybe we didn't have connectivity issues yesterday, so
maybe
hopefully
he will join us again. Yeah.
Spoke a little too soon about the success. Anyway, just a little background on Josh. He is from Florida, I believe. I have the article here, and we'll have a link in the show notes to the article about Josh. But he's a member of... I don't have it in front of me. I should. Christ the Lord in Clearwater, Florida. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of taken it upon himself to do this new Facebook page called He Loved Us First. And as I mentioned, it's definitely a pure gospel outreach.
Uh-oh.
There we are.
He's coming back in again. Now we got two Joshes.
That's
can you
all right.
hear us, Josh?
That's interesting. There's two of me.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll just
there, it goes.
Oh, there he goes. Okay. Well, anyway, Josh, while you were trying to connect back in, Sally was sharing a little bit about the article that appeared in Forward in Christ, but maybe we should let you speak for yourself. If you maybe want to introduce yourself and give us a little bit of background about yourself, you know, where you work and your congregation, family, that kind of stuff.
Sure. I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. I moved to Florida about 10 years ago. I'm a member of Christ the Lord Lutheran in Clearwater, Florida. I serve in my church on our church council as a board for adult discipleship. In that role, I teach the Sunday morning Bible class. I'm the head of like a planning committee where we're trying to come up with some new ministries for our church, because our school closed, and I'm a student. I also work as a freelance graphic designer a little bit. I'm going to school for it. I've been doing graphic design for a couple of years, self-taught, and just decided, well, you know, if I actually want to make a living out of this, I better actually figure out what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm still going to school, and it's very challenging. I was never a really good student, but I am learning some good stuff. And I guess it's about all I got as far as my personal life there.
Okay. Thanks.
Very good. Well, as we mentioned, you have the Facebook page, He Loved Us First. It's at facebook.com/He Loved Us First. And maybe you could give us just a little bit of background on how and why you got the page started, how long it's been out there, and the kind of things that you share on the page.
I would love to. basically last Easter, excuse me, just before Easter, I created the page, and the inspiration for it was I just kept seeing all these Facebook posts that said things like, you know, if you really loved Jesus, you know, you'd share this, or you'd click this, or, you know, and just things that were a lot of like really law oriented messages and nothing I wanted to share. And, you know, I wanted to find ways of sharing my faith on Facebook. And, so I just wanted to create a different type of tool that would be basically just gospel focused. And so I just decided, you know, hey, I'll just start, I'll do like a daily Bible verse. And then I decided, well, hey, I need to put an image with it because then it's more engaging. So I started looking for, you know, Christian art. And I guess from there, it evolved quickly because I shared it with my friends, and I don't know, it probably took a month to get up to 25 likes of begging my friends, you know, would you please like this page? And then one day I had an inspiration that I would, you know, how about, what if I just ran an ad, you know, let me look at what it's like to run a Facebook ad. And these ads are like, I saw that you could run an ad for like a dollar, and I'm, you know, a poor person, and a dollar sounded like a very good price point for me. So I experimented. And so I did some research, you know, where is, you know, what countries does the gospel need to be heard the most in, you know, where is it not being heard? And so, I looked up, you know, what countries have the largest populations of non-Christians. And so I, began experimenting, placing little ads here and there, and then studying the results. Using, there's some real powerful analytical tools that are provided with Facebook ads, and it really helped me to figure out, you know, where the ads were really being successful, what countries, what types of ads, and really, I guess, got pretty good at. You know, creating very focused ads where, you know, I'm, as of today, I even have some ads that I get much more than one like percent, you know, like I'm running an ad right now that has, I pay $3 a day for, and let's say yesterday I got like almost 500 likes. So that's, those are extraordinary mm-hmm. numbers. And it did take a lot of practice of figuring out, you know, where to do that, you know, what countries, what places, what kinds of ads. Mm-hmm. And then of course, I think the thing I really don't want to forget about is that I think the reason why the page is also successful, and you can run as many ads as you want, but it's a very gospel focused page, and you know, there's no commentary. It's just God's word. And I try to find images that don't detract from the word, but support it. At first I thought, you know, man, I'm going to run out of images doing this every day. And you'd just be amazed at how much wonderful, beautiful art there is out there that is very, you know, very Christian, very biblical. And a lot of great artists. There's new art being created every day. And it just gives me hope. I still have probably 1,000 images that I've collected that I have yet to use.
Where do you find those?
Well, like everybody else, probably I search on Google Images. And what I tend to do is I start looking. Sometimes I know what I want, you know, like say today I wanted an image of a woman who was submitting herself to Jesus. You know, she had some kind of submissive posture. So now actually I knew that I had images like that already in my library. But no, that's I haven't posted today's yet. That's why it's okay. That's why it's not there. But let's say if I wanted to look for it, I'd go to Google. I type in say Jesus and woman into the Google Images search, and then I'd indicate that I want images that are a certain size. You know, that I need to have images that are at least 800 pixels wide in order to match that cover photo. Sometimes I cheat, but I really try to get high res images because I think, again, that's another way to provide value to the people that actually click on them, you know, to have something they can download and enjoy. But anyway, as I'm looking for these images, sometimes I come across really great stuff that has nothing to do with what I'm looking for. And then I'll save that image or I'll find that artist. Another big part of what I try to do is to promote the individual artists that are creating this wonderful art. So most of my time is spent trying to figure out who did this wonderful piece of art that people have shared a bazillion times. And then, you know, kind of tracing it back to its creator. And then once I find a great image, often I find a great artist, and then they have a wonderful library of images that can be used.
So what kind of reaction have you gotten? You know, what's been the effect? Now, you've got a lot of people following, but, you know, is it making a difference? Or do you sense that things are happening, God's working through this?
Absolutely. You know, the most wonderful, fun, awesome part of doing this is to see people in countries that you would have never expected to have an interest saying things like, "I love you, Jesus." You know, they post little things on the page, or "Jesus gave everything for me." You know, "Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've given me." And it's really a joy to read them. Sometimes it's in the, you know, their English is really, they're not the greatest at English. And so sometimes they come out in funny ways, but it's still, you know, real wonderful to hear. Now, occasionally, because I do advertise in countries that are non-Christian and sometimes, drastically opposed to Christianity. Mm-hmm. I will get messages that are confrontational. But again, I think it's just another opportunity to share God's word. Most of these people have never been exposed to the gospel. They don't understand the concept that they are fully forgiven by grace, that it is by grace, not by works. And this is, you know, music to their ears. You know, God's word says that, you know, his sheep know his voice. And I think there's a lot of people who are hearing this message for the first time and they're responding. Although I think something around 85, almost 90% of the audience of He Loved Us First is under the age of 24. And wow. I think about 70% is under the age of 18. So a lot of young people that are being exposed to the gospel and the news of God's love for them.
That's exciting. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. So Josh, you know, I knew a very smart man once who said, if you can't name two people who know more than you, then you're the expert. So you have officially become our Wells Tech expert on advertising on Facebook. And I thought you might take a moment, maybe share your screen and walk us through what's involved in setting up a Facebook ad, if you don't mind sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. I gotta remember how to do this. You showed me yesterday.
Yep, there's a screen share button up there. And
so I've got two different types of ads I think I might share with you. One is an ad that I'm running for after the story ran and about He Loved Us First in Forward in Christ. I had a Wells member who I guess was inspired and said, "Hey, I wanna help." So they donated some money for me to run advertisements so that we could gain more fans of the page. So I'd like to show you this person's ad. Did that work?
Yep.
It did, but maybe increase the size of your...
Okay, so this is the basic landing page of an ad that you're managing. Okay. And so what you're looking at here, these powerful analytics that Facebook gives you when you place an ad. And so what you're looking at here is this big circle that tells me how many people are targeted in this ad. There's 30 million people that this ad could potentially reach. This little circle shows me how many people it's actually reached so far. Now there is a regular reach and a social reach. What that means is that this particular ad is targeted towards people who have friends that are already like the page. Again, these are some of these real powerful, not just analytics, but various ways of having real targeted marketing. So that's one of the tools I'm using in this ad is I'm targeting people who already have friends who like this page. And I found that to be a very effective form of advertising. So what you're looking at here is on this side, this is showing me how many clicks there are and how many actions. An action is liking the page, liking the picture, things like that. Mm-hmm. And you can making see on the first day here that there were 284 actions and 148 clicks. What that means is 148 people clicked that ad, but then they did 284 actions, which means they liked the page and they shared the post, or they shared it with their friend, or they did three or four different things. They visited different parts of the page and clicked on those. And what that's telling me is that not only are people liking the page, but they're really getting engaged in it. And this is how you know you have a successful advertising campaign, when you're getting a lot of activity. And in this particular case here, okay, now these are this is the breakdown of the different kinds of ads, right? There's actually two different ads in this campaign. One is this one here, which is just an image and a little bit of copy. It says beautiful art and verses, God loves you so much. This is, shows me what happened in this ad. Now it says 364 page likes happened yesterday. I only spent $3 on this ad.
Wow.
364 likes, page likes from here. This ad here is the part where it says, you know, so-and-so likes, he loved us first, and it shows the little icon for the page. And again, here we had 125 likes. So this ad yesterday had 489 likes on a $3 advertising. This here shows you where the ad is being targeted, the different countries that I've specifically targeted.
So what kind of, Josh, particular. What kind of targeting options do you have? Can it be by country, by gender? You know, what options do you have?
Okay, let's go ahead and let's go ahead and walk you through the creation of an ad here real quick.
Great, that's probably perfect.
Picture. All right, so you click the create an ad button.
We aren't seeing your screen.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am. What did I do? Okay, let's go.
You live in my Google Plus Hangout world. That's challenging.
Okay, let's see here. I think this is it.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can see it now?
Yes.
Okay, so you click this create an ad. And then I have multiple pages, different pages. This is a Bible study page I've created for our church. This is our church's page. And it's telling me, where do I want this ad to send people? And I want to send them to He Loved Us First. Okay, now this is a recent new development here. It says, what would you like to do? And you can, basically what it's doing is, you used to have to do everything yourself and really try to target things and figure out where your best markets were. Now Facebook has created this option where you can just say, hey, I want more page likes, and they will try to do the targeting for you. It still helps to reduce that amount of them having to figure out as much as possible if you know what a good target audience is. So for example, in this one, we're just going to go with get more page likes, and it's going to figure some things out for us. Here's the ad. Here's the copy that goes in it. It's going to show me a preview here, kind of what it looks like. I have an option of different types of images. There's a maximum size here. It's 100 pixels by 72 pixels is the maximum size of the image. We're going to tell it here that we want it to show stories about people liking the page. I could take that off and it would just be an ad like this. But see, it shows you the two different types. Mm-hmm. So here's the other example. So-and-so likes He Loved Us First. Look, and then it shows, oh, you're four friends or however. So those are generally pretty effective ads. Now here's where you get into your targeting. So this ad is targeted towards the United States. You can target by country, by state, by city, by zip code. If you want to do specific cities, let me show you real quick if I can figure this out.
And make sure you're describing it so our audio listeners can follow along as well.
Absolutely. Hold on one second here. I pulled up one of the powerful analytics here. Yeah, here is my advertising report. Okay, so this is a detailed advertising report, and it's going to look kind of like gibberish, but I just want to show you quickly this couple of things here. It's showing me the country, right? This tells me the country name. And then over here, I see something called a click-through rate. CTR is a click-through rate. That means what percentage of times was the ad clicked, based on the number of times it was shown.
Right.
And what I see here is that in Pakistan, for example, about 0.5% of the ads were clicked on. Those are extraordinary numbers.
That's high, right?
You can see here that in the Philippines, for example, that rate was only about 0.13%. Mm-hmm. It's actually still pretty good from my research. But you can see if I really wanted to target an ad, I might say, you know what, let's just concentrate on Pakistan because that's got the highest return. So that's just kind of the idea. Sure, use these analytics to then target. You know, you see down here different age groups. Mm-hmm. If I just click the click-through rate, it's going to show me where the highest is, period. Well, you can see that it's actually the city of Islamabad in Pakistan. So you can really kind of narrow down. Well, I know that Islamabad is really the place where people love this page, so I'm going to concentrate all my advertising there.
Interesting.
So I'll go back here and show you the ad part where we're placing the ad. So that's where I could type in here. Can you see my screen again?
Sure.
Yes.
So here I can type in Pakistan.
In the location, right?
And then I can say, it looks like Pakistan does not have choices for cities. Now, I'm pretty sure that India does. Let's see. Yeah, so now India has specifics where I could then target a city like, Bombay or something. Mm-hmm. And then it'll target my ads there. Now, it'll show me right here. It says this is the audience, all right? So there's a potential in this little city here. There's 3,720 people this ad could be shown to.
Amazing.
So what it does, it keeps a running tally of different things. So there's 59 million people that are just in India. If I want to add Pakistan, now it's got 67 million people. So it keeps running a tally and letting you know who your target audience is.
And do you
how many are in there?
Do you pay by the number of people in the audience then, or what's the pricing model?
I'll show you that real quick. Right now we're saying we want to get more page likes. So this is an automated. The pricing here is automated. The basic way that Facebook ads work is they use a bidding system. You can bid based on the number of clicks or the number of impressions. An impression is the number of times the ad has shown up on somebody's page. Mm-hmm. So you can pay per 1,000 impressions or you can pay per click. Or you can do this get more likes thing. The get more likes is based on a cost per 1,000 impressions, but they do some of the targeting. So in this case, I really don't have any control over what that is. Now I can do this thing here called switch to advanced pricing, right? Mm-hmm. So now I could say I want to pay by click. So I'll optimize for clicks and I'm going to manually set a value for clicks. So then here's my option. It automatically gives me a suggested range, 3 cents to 10 cents per click for this audience. One of the things that you'll learn is that different places have different prices. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that Pakistan is lower cost than India. So let's get rid of India and let's look at what our price is now. Now you see the suggested bid dropped from 2 to 4 cents. What it's telling me is that this is what the going rate is. And so what it uses is it uses a formula in how clickable your ad is. In other words, how often are people clicking on it, that click-through rate number, and how much were you willing to pay for it? Mm-hmm. And they figure it out on their own. Well, if we only have to show this guy's ad 1,000 times to get 12 clicks, but we have to show this guy's ad 10,000 times to get 12 clicks, we're going to run the other one. You know what I'm saying? They're using a computation to determine, of course, how to make the most money because that's what they do best, right? Mm-hmm. So there are some manual ways to control the pricing on impressions and clicks. Now, one thing I did figure out is that when I tried to price by impressions, like if I thought I was really clever, really got myself a real good market, and so then I wanted to pay by impression because I knew my click-through rates were really high in a particular area. When I ran ads that way, I found my click-through rate drop into the bottom of the barrel. And I believe that Facebook doesn't like it when you get too smart and figure out how to make really effective ads. So they start running your ad in the least effective places on the site. Mm-hmm. So there may be some experimenting you want to do. The bottom line is here is if you want to start running an advertising campaign, you're going to need to do some experimenting. You're going to need to run ads that are ever so slightly different from one another to determine which ones are being the most effective. And you can run ads that cost you as little as a dollar a day. And so that's some pretty cheap experimentation, sure. But it still uses the same market. And so you get good data. Mm-hmm. Like you saw that spreadsheet that I showed earlier, it gives you really tons of data. It gives you, demographics, like how old they are, where they live, things like that. And real quickly, I want to show you this other section here that we skipped over where you can now determine their interests. Let's say I really wanted to increase that percentage. Well, I'm doing an ad in Pakistan, but let's say I want them to say that they like Jesus. So I type in Jesus into my precise interest and I click like, and you can see that there are 136,000 people who live in Pakistan who like Jesus. Now those people are going to be perhaps more likely to click my ad. This is another way of doing real targeted right. advertising. Okay. If you'd like, I could show you another ad, but we're probably low on time. I know I've been talking for a while.
We are. Now, this is great information. I wanted to ask a couple closeout questions here. One, so when the ad is run, where can it appear on the page?
Like now, where does it usually appear on Facebook?
In Facebook, I know the right-hand column is typically all ads when I view it. So, but it may do they appear in different places?
They can. They run on the right-hand side, as you see there. Sometimes they run on pages where you're showing like an image. If you're clicking on a photo view, mm-hmm. if you're looking at somebody's photo, maybe try clicking one of those photos.
One of these?
Yeah. I think sometimes when you click that,
sure.
I think sometimes you get ads there too. See, there's a Paul Ryan ad. There's another place where ads can show up.
Okay.
And then there's actually a new type of ad that I've been experimenting with where the ad actually shows up right in the news feed. Mm-hmm. It took me a while to figure out how to do that. I think you said that I'm the expert. Well, I can assure you that I am far from an expert. And there are apparently even some tools that I've never even experimented using before. There's like an advanced ad creator, mm-hmm. Which I think may do something along this lines. But sure. What I have done is if I have a post, for example, the one you're looking at right there, if I have one that's really successful, I may run an ad that pushes that actual post right into people's news feeds. And it'll show up in their newsfeed and it'll say, so-and-so, your friend so-and-so likes He Loved Us First, and it'll show that post. Mm-hmm. Or your friend so-and-so liked a post by He Loved Us First, and it'll show that post. What I found is that these ads are very clickable. They get a lot of clicks. In other words, a lot of activity. A lot of people click like or they click share. What I have found is they don't give me a lot of page likes, which, again, is my goal. But right now I'm running an ad promoting the He Loved Us First page among Wells members. You may have seen these very ads showing up in your news feed or on the right-hand side of the page because we're a fairly small audience. Mm-hmm. But American advertising is much more expensive, and ads showing up in the news feed are much more expensive. So it's like a double whammy.
Right.
I may be getting 10% of the people clicking on it, but the cost is so much higher, and I probably only get about, two likes. I think I'm getting about 5 or 10 likes per dollar as opposed to the other rate of, 500 likes for $3,
Sure. So maybe one last question, Josh. What's next? I mean, where is He Loved Us First going? Is it just more of the same, or do you have other plans for different sites or different content, types of content?
Absolutely have some big plans for He Loved Us First. You know, this isn't something that I created, you know, to do anything. It started out as just something very simple, and I feel like the way that it is exploding and the effectiveness of it, I think it demands further development. Mm-hmm. And so my next step is to create a website. I secured the domain, which interestingly enough wasn't available when I first launched the page, but then became available afterwards, helovedusfirst.com and .org. And my intention is to create a website that has basically it's a little bit of the same thing, but kind of ramped up a little bit. I want to start fostering relationships with some of these artists, and here's the basics. I want to share the gospel in multiple languages. We already have the gospel available in multiple languages through the Facebook page, but they kind of have to do digging on their own. I'd really like to provide some native language biblical resources for people all over the world, places where they can get free Bibles in their own language or find resources to, you know, sound doctrinal Bible teachers in their own countries. I'd like to promote Christian artists. I'd like to find ways of really getting these people the attention that they deserve and helping them to sell their art, to get commissions. And then inevitably, I would also like to be someone who's a facilitator of the creation of new art. I would like someday to be able to commission new great works of art. So there's a lot of goals there. And really right now, I'm just in the development stages of figuring out what I can do, what I can't. I recently spoke to a man by the name of Mark Parsons. He's a pastor, and he's begun, he and some other pastors and teachers are working on a project called Bread for Beggars. There's a Bread for Beggars website. There's a Bread for Beggars Facebook page. And they're focusing on, you know, images, art, multimedia, sermons, and so forth for, you know, just good quality gospel, doctrinally sound stuff to share online. And we've been talking, and so there, we might be able to connect with them or work hand in hand with them or something along those lines. I would love to be able to promote Christian music and Christian movies and things like that. But, you know, it's the doctrinally sound part that's hard to come by.
Yep.
So just a good way of connecting to other wells, ELS, you know, confessional evangelicals around the world.
Mm-hmm. Great. Josh, Sally, I really appreciate you taking some time with us today. And we will certainly be keeping an eye on. We both follow your Facebook page, and blessings on your continuing work. Maybe we'll have you on after you've been able to accomplish some of those things and see how it's going.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to share with you guys.
Our pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Love the show.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. We are at a time mark for us, Martin. I'm not sure how we want to continue with the rest of the show or if we want to table some things for next week's show because we have so much to share already.
Yep, that's a great idea. I think we should maybe jump to, I want to share a ministry resource. We should do our picks and then maybe call it a day. How about that?
That sounds like a plan. Okay. So you are the ministry resource guy this week. Tell us what you got.
Yeah, let me quickly share my screen again. And I think one of the things I was most intrigued about by Facebook was the ability to bring in other resources. And while it's not overly easy, there are some cool apps out there that will allow you to connect with different things that you maybe already have on the web. And one of those things is YouTube. Wells Tech has a YouTube channel, and some of our congregation schools probably do too. And when I searched around a lot on YouTube or on Facebook to try and find a YouTube app, but it was that's one of those complexities that is just confounding to me. It's not easy to find apps on Facebook. So it's easier to do a Google search and then, you know, kind of go on, you know, the back door. And I found one called Involver.com that has a bunch of different applications for Facebook. They have a way to get RSS feeds in, similar to RSS Graffiti. Mm-hmm. Your Twitter feed can get published into Facebook, YouTube channel, Flickr channel, static HTML pages. And then they've got some other things that are for fee, photo galleries and coupons and those kinds of things, so sign-up forms, that kind of stuff. But there are a number of free add-ons for Facebook, for your Facebook page. These are specifically for pages, or actually they probably will work on personal pages as well. But Oracle recently bought this group, this Involver company. So it's Oracle Involver, but it's involver.com/applications. We'll have a link in the show notes, but very easy to install. It just installs as another application and then becomes a little, they don't call them tabs anymore, but another application they can click on to see your content from other sources. So it's a good resource and really easy to do. If I can do it on Facebook, anybody can. So that's my little ministry resource for the day, Facebook related.
We'll have to try out our YouTube channel on our WellsTech page. That looks like a good find.
I already put it on there.
Oh, you're so Facebook wise. Yeah. It's so impressive. Wow.
Yes. I'll be catching up with Josh any, you know, real
soon.
Yeah.
Two experts in the house.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our picks of the week, Sally.
Okay. And I have to credit my good friend Ryan Rosenthal, who's at Faith in Fond du Lac, for my pick this week. Ryan sent me somewhat begrudgingly a link to something he thought I might like. And his message was, I don't care for infographics, but I know you do. So I thought I'd pass this on to you. Ryan is a reader. And if you ever follow him on Goodreads, my goodness, the man reads like unbelievably. So I can get it that he's not an infographics Pinterest kind of person, but he found this resource. It was recently highlighted in a blog post from the folks over at iLearn Technology, and it's called PictoChart. And it basically allows you to create your own infographics. Now, I've played with one of these kind of creation tools in the past, and the whole process was automated. I didn't have a lot of control over it. But PictoChart is quite different. So, there's a free and there's a pay-forward version. But with the free version, you get about six different templates to use. And so you pick your template you're interested in. And once you've selected it, then you actually have different color combinations that you can make use of for the infographic you're creating. And then you have a very robust image editing tool, basically. And I say image editing, text and image editing tool. Mm-hmm. And there's layers to it. And there's, you know, all the different things. You don't have to go with the graphics they provide. You can import your own graphics. But if you like, you can make use of the shapes and graphics and different things that they provide in your infographic. And then you just go about editing the layout that they've provided for you. So a little more work than the ones I've played with in the past, but it seems like a very professional infographic creator. And like I said, there's six different layouts for free, but there's many more if you want to pay for their pro account.
Cool.
Just a reminder, when Ryan sent it to me, I thought I had actually seen this tool before, but I had played in the past with something called Visually. So it's visual.ly, visually. And I did a Twitter showdown between you and me, Martin, to see who rules the Twitter sphere between our two accounts. And all I had to do was basically give it our two Twitter names, and it generated the infographic and a lot of stats on our two accounts. So that one's a kind of a click and you're done kind of infographic generator versus PictoChart, my pick for this week, where you have a lot more control and can get a lot more creative in the process. So check them out if you're looking to create some infographics.
You are the social queen, Sally.
There you go.
One application for this, I think, which I've seen some congregations do, not just with an infographic, but with, you know, something more visual, is their annual report. And the report is full of, you know, all kinds of data and charts and growth trends and whatever. And I would
definitely
think that, you know, nobody reads them. Why not try and spruce it up, create an infographic of, you know, the year in review from a church's perspective. I'd love to see somebody try that. Maybe I'll.
Great idea. I know there's congregations out there that have amazing, creative, right brain kind of people. So turn them onto this site and watch them go, huh?
Yeah, cool. All right. My pick of the week is also semi-Facebook related. And we've talked, I think, a little bit about it in the past. It's called Scribd. scribd.com. And basically, it's a document repository where you can upload all kinds of documents, Word documents, Excel, PowerPoint, PDFs, and it basically puts them in a readable format. And you can push anything up here. It's a free application. And so if you're a writer, or if you have things that you'd like to publish, this is a way to do it. And what they've added recently, or they've re-enabled recently, they took it offline for a while, is a way to sell your documents. So if you have a title that you'd like to sell, maybe it's a white paper or whatever, you can set up a model, and the revenue share, I think, is like 80%, which is yours, and then they keep 20%, whatever the price is that you want to set. So I've used this in the past, but I think my account fell out of disuse, so I created another one, and one of the neat things about it, and the reason that came up this week, is you can connect it to Facebook. So anything that you publish there can automatically go on Facebook or Twitter, of course. And, you know, maybe the application here is sermons. Or Bible studies, or anything that is created, any kind of document that is created on the church or school level. So I uploaded one of the white papers I wrote a while back on missions and websites. It was a PDF document, uploaded it, and you can create little collections. So I have a collection called Wells. I may kind of break that down further to missions or, you know, administration or productivity or whatever. But whenever you upload something, you can categorize it and you can give it tags so people can find it. You can share it in different formats. So this is a 24-page document that I uploaded. And as you click on it, it'll open up and show it in the form exactly the way that you wrote it. So as I'm scrolling through the document, you can kind of see it page by page. It's page numbered. You can allow comments. You can link to it. You can even embed it or embed an entire collection on your website, which is really cool, because if you want to, you know, kind of keep this as a repository for, let's say, sermons, if you write out your sermons, then you can embed that on your website, and then as new ones come up, people can click on them and read them in a nice formatted way as they would read a regular document, rather than having to download it. And they can download these as well. You can prevent that or not. And then you have the ability to, as I mentioned, share this on Facebook, Twitter, in LinkedIn, those kinds of things. So totally free. That's Scribd, scribd.com.
And Martin, I'm wondering, maybe you mentioned this and I missed it, can you tag your items as well? So yep, create a searchable way to get to things, maybe key terms in your sermons or whatever.
And awesome. They can be public or private documents, so they can be private just to you or to a group that you want to share with. They've got a social nature to it, so it's connected with Facebook. So pretty cool.
Very good.
So we're going to save our feedback, and we had a lot of it for next week, which is fine. So just hang tight. We do want to just quickly remind everybody about our 7 Best series. Sally, you want to share with the class what's going on there?
You bet. The year 2012 has been a year of 7 best lists for the Wells Tech podcast. Mm-hmm. We start each month with a show dedicated to a countdown of 7 best of something. And in November, we're going to kick off the month with the 7 best video and web conferencing tools. And Martin and I don't get around as much as you guys do with a large listener audience like we have. We want to hear from you and hear what video tools are working for you, how you're doing web conferencing, what ministry uses you have for these tools. And we'll compile all that feedback and add a little bit of our own knowledge and hopefully come up with a useful list for everyone to find some new tools that will advance the gospel.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Please share. So at the top of the show, Sal and I referenced what was coming up next week already. We attended an event sponsored by Christ in Media Institute called Media in World Missions Conference. And so we're going to share our thoughts from that conference, a lot of good stuff. And then we did a number of interviews. So we're excited to share those as well, some of our first in-person video interviews. So you're not going to want to miss that. Because these are pre-recorded, we're not going to have a live show next week. So if you are one of our live viewers, just keep that in mind. This will only be pre-recorded, but we will publish at the same time and same approach. Want to thank Josh Renner for taking the time for being with us. Very insightful, and I think I'm inspired to try and do some targeted advertising, especially at very low cost and the impact that he's had. That's something that maybe all of our organizations should be thinking about. I know I'm going to recommend that we look at that on the Wells Facebook page as well. It's certainly opportunities there. Let's close the show with the music of Wells artist Stephen Bautista, his song entitled A Gentle Word. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
People everywhere are leery of the fold, jaded by the constant ringing of judgmental overtones. You can almost see them cringe when you try to share the truth, bracing in anticipation for another stern rebuke. 'Cause what they often hear sounds like an angry preacher shouting that the end is near. Speak to them in love, let compassion run through their walls of hurt. As you try to make it through their heart and point of view, nothing else can break the barriers down like a gentle word. They say keep it to yourself, they've heard it all before, and then label you a Jesus freak as they slam the door. Their bitter words can sting and cut just like a knife, but just as words can hurt, they also can bring life and pierce their walls of stone and fill them with the promise that's found in Christ alone. Speak to them in love, let compassion run through their walls of hurt. As you try to make it through their heart and point of view, nothing else can break the barriers down like a gentle word. Now, Nothing else can break the barriers down like a gentle